All right, praise the Lord on this beautiful Lord's Day, August the 18th, Sunday morning. Good to be in the house of God in Sunday school. And boy, if there ever was a day when Sunday school classes ought to be running over, it's this day of deception that we're living in right now. Our message today God's put on our heart, I'm sure it'll be more than a message sermon, much needed, but one of the reasons we're having so much trouble today is because of our lack of knowing the Word of God, not being able to discern the times, just really falling prey to deception, and we've got everything we need. We've got not only the Lord, we've got the Word of God, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got churches on every corner in this country.
Yeah.
And you know, just an ample supply of everything we need, so we're truly without excuse. But last Sunday, we stopped. I don't think I had a Sunday school lesson last Sunday, but the last Sunday school lesson we had, we stopped at verse 13, talking about happy is the man that findeth wisdom.
Yeah.
And our lesson today is about wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding. And understanding and wisdom are one and the same. The more wisdom that you have, the more understanding you'll have. Wisdom goes to the grave today in mass quantities. People that have learned through ages, passed down knowledge. My grandmother took a lot of wisdom to her grave. I remember going down there one time and asking my grandmother, her name was May Gunnels. I said, "Mama May, I said, share some of your wisdom with me." And she was delighted. Morning, Sister Bonnie. My grandmother was delighted to share some of her wisdom with me. And with white hair on her head, I sat down. And I wished I'd had a recorder. I wished I'd had a pen and paper, because she shared a lot of wisdom with me. They had made it through the Depression. They had made it through tough times. And they made ends meet that looked really impossible. And she had a lot of wisdom to offer me. But today, a lot of wisdom goes to the grave. People today, and I'll just say this before we even get in a lesson. People today, they get their wisdom by doing a Google search. I do too. I do a Google search myself, like on how to fix something. I'll go on there and I'll get several different people that worked on something to get an idea of what I'm looking at before I jump into it. It does help. But when it comes to the wisdom of God, there's only one place to get the wisdom of God. That's to go into a good fundamental. I don't know if y'all caught this or not, but just not too long ago, Joe Biden said that President Trump was fundamentally changing America. And yes. I said, "Woo! Hallelujah! Glory!"
That's right.
Fundamentally changing America. We've been fumbling the fundamental part of America for quite some time. Yeah. I'm glad we're finding our way back, and I do believe we can. And oh, how we need to. Our children are suffering because of the lack of fundamental teaching and fundamental churches in our country. A lot of churches have become Ichabod. The glory is departed. I'm sure I'm going to get this lesson in a minute. This is just throwing this out there. Wisdom is something that's more precious than gold, which is what our Sunday school lesson is about.
Right.
And you just can't go to Walmart and say, "I need about 2 pounds of wisdom." You can't go and say, "I need a bushel basket of wisdom." Wisdom is something that takes a long time to get. And when you get it, it's so precious, you're so glad. Now, in my case, my father taught me how to fix a lot of things, and I kind of took it for granted. As long as my father was alive, I never did really even use it. I just watched him.
Yeah.
I'd call him, and he and I would fix it. But now that he's no longer here, now I realize how much wisdom he put in my heart, how much wisdom he passed along to me.
Yeah.
To be able to take something apart, fix it, put it back together.
Right.
Well, our lesson today, like I said, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." And the world, they're not in. Matter of fact, the Bible does say a lot about wisdom. Let me throw this in here real quick before I start. I'm letting God lead in this Sunday school lesson this morning. Reminds me a whole lot of preaching because I have so much liberty here right now. But in Acts chapter 17, God talks about the wisdom of this world. And a lot of people, that's all they want is what the world says.
That's right.
You know, you can go what the world says. You sure can. But God talked about the wisdom of this world's foolishness with Him. And He talked about God winking at the wisdom of this world and commands men everywhere to repent. And you know, you can get wisdom from the world, or you can get wisdom from God. But the wisdom of this world, it's foolish with God. That's actually in Corinthians 1 I was looking for. But happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Our schools have put back in them, in God we trust. And I'm glad to see that. That was a token of hope for our children. And like I said, our message today is going to be strong. I'm not going to mince words. You'll have to have your seatbelt and airbag today, I guess. But it's burning in my heart. I've got to get this message off. I believe it'll be more than one message to deliver what God's put on my heart to preach today. But happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. That should be the goal. Matter of fact, I think Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In Matthew chapter 6, I think. I can't find where I wrote it down yet. I believe it's in Matthew chapter 6. Well, there's too much territory in my little pea brain. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That would be the first goal of everyone. That's why I wanted to mention it. Is happy is the man that finds wisdom. Happy is the man that gets understanding. That's his first goal, is to do that. Verse 14 is a kind of continuation of verse 13, talking about wisdom. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than of fine gold. Actually, I remembered that verse finally. It's Matthew 6:33, I think. Let me get back to that. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was close. Yeah, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That ought to be the goal of every person, is to find not only the wisdom of God, but to find the will of God, God's will, not willing any perish, but all come to repentance. God will have all men to be saved. God long-suffering to us, not willing any perish. He wants everyone to get saved. And that ought to be the goal of everyone. Just the idea here, the merchandise of it, you know, the value of it. Let's go on and read verse 15, then I'll talk about that. In wisdom's terms here, it talks about it in the sheet. Sheet, talking about wisdom, is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Now, again, we're going to be talking about wisdom. Look at Mark chapter 8 real quick. Be better just to get it through the eye gate and the ear gate. Mark chapter 8. Look at verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me, and all the world is ashamed of Christ, and of my words, and they're ashamed of his words, and they are part of this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, that person that's ashamed of the Lord, also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Now I mentioned this to Brother Ed before y'all got in here. Last night at prayer meeting, a lot of good things I heard, but one of the things I heard last night that kind of got my attention was the fact that Russia and China have united in this effort to build a road called the Silk Road to make a way from the east all the way to Pakistan, all the way to Africa. This road costs over $1 trillion to build, and they're building it for free. My pastor said, I just want y'all to know that this road is to make a way for military to move.
Right.
Now, in Revelations, I think it's chapter 16, it kind of makes a reference to that. We're not to this yet, but you can see we're heading to this.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like, you know, writing on the wall here.
Yeah.
Look at verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. Listen, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Where's China at?
Yeah.
In the east.
Yeah.
I just want you to know they're working towards fulfilling that very scripture.
Yes, they are.
They're going to encompass about Israel, Jesus, in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Talked about when you see the armies compass about Jerusalem, know that it's nigh, even at the door. I just want you to know we're getting there.
Oh, yeah.
But let's see here. Look at Luke 16. We're talking about how precious wisdom is. Look at Luke 16, verse 11. The Lord here talks about, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, talking about worldly possessions, who will commit to your trust, notice this, the true riches. There's a difference between, well, let's go over to Luke 12. This will make my point even better. This man got wealthy in a worldly way, but God summed it up in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, notice, and is not rich toward God. The true riches that the Lord's talking about is wisdom, understanding, being able to put things in perspective where they belong, not blind leading blind, but the path of the just as a shining light shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The merchandise, verse 14 of Proverbs chapter 3, the merchandise of wisdom is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. People are falling through the cracks today by neglecting the wisdom that God's talking about here.
Yeah.
Our schools, great opportunity. I think it's Proverbs 22, verse 6. You know what's that? Train up a child. Okay, if you don't train up a child in the way he should go, then you'll reap the product of that.
Yeah.
That's what the schools are doing, see?
Right.
They're training up children in another way.
Mm-hmm.
They're training up children that way that's mentioned in Proverbs chapter 14 and Proverbs chapter 16. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. They're doing that.
Yes.
And wisdom. Happy is a man that finds wisdom. There's so many young people committing suicide today because they never found the wisdom we're talking about in this lesson. They don't think life's worth living. And you know, according to the world, if that's all they got, the wisdom of this world, maybe that is true. Maybe it ain't worth living. But if you'll notice, verse 13, happy. He didn't want to commit suicide. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. He won't commit suicide. He's happy. And he's got the peace of God. And he's got the true riches. James chapter 4 talks about buying, selling, getting gain, verse 13. And you know, a lot of people, I do this too. They try to buy something, fix it up, turn around, sell it. And they think that's the way to get rich. And it does put food on the table, put a little change in your pocket. But even though it says, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That kind of gain right there is not like this gain this Sunday school lesson is talking about here. This is true riches. This is makes you rich towards God. And verse 15, talking again about wisdom. She's more precious than rubies. When I think about rubies, I think about a valuable commodity. They used to pay for things with rubies. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. In other words, it's in a category. All itself, wisdom, is something that ought to be precious.
Yeah.
If you do get wisdom, look at verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. You know, everybody wants to get ahead. Everybody wants to succeed. And God tells you here how to do it. He said you'll live a long life. And not only that, He said you'll have riches, you'll have honor. But you know what? They'll go any way but God's way.
Yeah.
They'll listen to anyone but God.
That's true.
Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness.
Mm-hmm.
And her paths, all of her paths are peace. Let's see if I can find this. I think it's Isaiah 40. No, that's not it. Isaiah 48, verse 22. There's no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, people want peace. They'll spend great money for peace. They want health. They'll spend every dime they've got trying to get health. And God's sitting here saying, I'm going to give you health, which is length of days. It's in her hand. And in her left hand is riches and honor. So let's just see here. I'm going to try to illustrate this. Let's see. It's my left hand. Okay, I got riches and honor right here. In my right hand, I got length of days. You want to live a long life? You want to have everything you need? God says get wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a package deal.
That's right.
And you know what God says? Man, this kind of discounts it. Doesn't put the value on it. Doesn't really take it to any degree of what it needs to be. And God still gives it. He still offers it. You know, Jesus, He didn't make people get saved.
No.
Matter of fact, He said, John 5:40, He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, I got what you need, but you got to come to me to get it.
That's right.
And they won't do it.
Amen.
Well, anyway, again, talking about wisdom, verse 17, her ways. There's a way, you know, God's way is different than the world's way. The Bible talks about the way of transgressors is what? Hard.
Yeah.
They'll go that hard way. That prodigal son is a good example of it. He didn't want to do things the way his father wanted to do them. You know, I guess all y'all can say amen to this, but when I was young, I thought I'd forgotten more than my mom and dad ever knew. And it didn't take me too long to realize he's a whole lot smarter than I ever gave him credit for.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, you need help with that. It ain't like you can figure that on your own. It didn't take me too awful long to realize I was down in a box of rocks and they had already way ahead of me on things I was trying to learn. They already knew them and they'd done forgot more than I'd ever know if I didn't start paying attention to what they was offering and telling me. But her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. You know, God wants, He wants people to have peace. He wants people to have a long life. He wants people to have riches and have honor. And you know, that's attainable. God offers it. He says you can have it. They turn it down. Again, verse 18, talking about wisdom. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, And happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now I understand this verse a whole lot better now that I'm saved and I've read my Bible through. Really read it through more than 17 times. I've read the New Testament through probably 50 times. But the complete Bible, I was on my 18th time of reading my Bible completely through. And it was 2005. My mom passed away. And I laid my Bible aside. I was only a child, grieving my mother. Wasn't in the right state of mind. I'm not using this for excuse. I was going to tell you truthfully that I laid my Bible aside, and I have yet to read my Bible completely through again. I glean here, there, everywhere. But every year I devoted to read my Bible through every single year for 17 straight years. And then on the 18th year, I laid it aside. Now, why I'm saying that is, when I laid it aside, I realized how much I'd actually learned and how much I had retained or put in my heart. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." And I had no idea how much I had learned. I had no idea how much I'd put in my heart. But I will tell you this, out of the archives of my heart, many times, it's like a well. Many times when I needed something, there it was. See what I mean? I had it. And when I needed it, there it was. Now, if you don't have it, you don't have nothing to draw from. That's why Jesus mentioned that woman in John chapter 4. He talked about that living water.
Yeah.
And she talked about, hey, the well's deep and you ain't got nothing to draw with. He said, I'm offering you better than what's in this well.
Right.
Well, God offers all the same. He offers us something better than what's in the well. But when you get some Bible in your heart, you have what's mentioned right here, a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. You ought to retain God's wisdom.
That's right.
Not throw it away, not trade it off, but hold it as dear and as precious as it is.
Yes.
Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom. Now, this wasn't no big bang. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. I want you to know when God spoke everything into existence, He done it in wisdom.
Yes, He did.
Now, we've got a lot of things going on today. I know this is the 21st century and all that. And men, they're not content to dwell upon the earth that God formed to be inhabited. According to Isaiah chapter 45, God formed the earth to be inhabited. I've got gravity. It's probably going to be a little warm today, but I've got heat. I've got cool. I've got water. I've got food. I've got air to breathe. I've got everything I need because God formed the earth and He formed it to be inhabited and He put man on it.
Yeah.
Now, He didn't form the moon to be inhabited. It's celestial light.
Yeah.
But men have been to the moon, or so they say they have. I certainly don't argue the issue. I don't know. I've never been to the moon myself. I'm going to pass it one day. Well, I haven't never been there. I haven't never been anywhere about anything. I've been to Calvary and that amounted to a lot.
Yeah.
Man, oh man, that was a great experience.
Yes.
That was kind of like going to the moon. I never will forget when I called upon Him that's rich in mercy and all that call upon Him. I found oceans of peace and all rivers of joy.
Yeah.
That today I still got a song in my heart, even praise to His name. Man, I found Calvary. I tell you what, buddy, that's better than my ears. Hallelujah. God, you know, He straightened my crookedness out. My mind, my speech, my steps, everything, He straightened it out. John the Baptist, preaching about Jesus, said, He maketh the crooked straight. Well, I was crooked as a dog's leg, and He straightened me like a gun barrel straight. And amen, that was His doing, not mine. He that begun a good work in you, Paul said in the book of Philippians, He'll continue to the day of Christ. He's still working on me, but I will tell you this, He got me straightened out real quick. But the Lord by wisdom have founded the earth. Man can't figure it out. It's past man's finding out. Man won't take God's record.
That's right.
They'll take any record but God. Yeah. Oh, we found some scientist over here. He's got more degrees than a thermometer.
Yeah.
Well, God winks at that kind of ignorance.
Yeah, He does.
And He said, I'm telling you, by wisdom, He said, I founded the earth. He talked about even weighing the sand of the seashore. He talked about even giving the ways a decree that they could not pass. Now, I know we've come down to day and time. We got people that think this earth is flat. I want to know the longitude and latitude of where it ends at. You see what I mean? Longitude goes around the world.
Right.
Both ways, latitude, longitude. And anyway, the world, they still ain't got it figured out. But they think they have. That's what's really scary, is they think they have. And God wakes you that kind of wisdom. But man thinks that he knows more than God. And, you know, man tries to take God out of things. You can't take God out of anything.
No.
The Bible said in the book of Colossians, he's before all things. Not only did he create all things, but by him all things consist. Without him, everything would just explode. He holds everything together. They made the atom bomb. And, you know, man thinks that, you know, they're going to destroy the earth. Hey, Brother Dallas. Man's not going to destroy the earth. God's done told who's going to destroy it, and he's done told how he's going to destroy it. Man may not give much heed to it, but God said he ought to give the most earnest heed. Well, anyway, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. This wasn't no accident.
Right.
This was by not only design, but by wisdom, and by understanding he established the heavens. We get rain from where?
From heaven.
Right. We get sunshine from work.
Yeah.
We get nighttime from work.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I never lived in Alaska. They got really short days up there, but where I live at, it's kind of normal. You know, we got a normal day, and I got a night I can crawl in bed and rest. But I can't imagine being a rooster living in Alaska when they don't have no night up there forever and ever and ever. I can't imagine that. Rooster go crazy up there now. Can you imagine? Oh, my knee. Can you imagine living in Alaska? I've never been there. I don't know a whole lot about it. They say they have really short days, and some days they don't have no night at all. I can't imagine that.
That's true.
But anyway, God, he designed everything. He designed it with us in mind that we would have everything that we need. Verse 20, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up. Now that happened in Noah's day in the flood. The fountains of the deep were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. There come a flood from above, there come a flood from beneath.
Yeah.
I just want you to know God ordained that. I know a sign to say it couldn't happen. Well, they're going to come to terms one day with the truth of the whole matter.
Right.
You know, it's okay for a man to scratch his head and argue with God, but one day you're going to have to give an account of that. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. This week, Henry Fonda passed away. He's got it all figured out now.
Peter Fonda.
Yeah, Peter Fonda passed away, I think 79 or something like that. He don't have no questions no more. He understands now. And you know, all these atheists, all these agnostics, all these liberals, all these people, you know, that think they're smarter, we're the dumber, we're Neanderthals and all that. I'll tell you one thing, they have no sense to get saved. Well, they're going to figure out one day.
Well, Eddie, I have a question.
Oh, what?
You was talking about people, and there's people argue that this earth is flat. It's not round.
Right.
If that's true, go to Isaiah 40. 40.
Yeah. Verse 22, I think.
Yeah.
Set on the circle of the earth. That was the very verse that Columbus used to set sail to discover America. That very verse. It's in his diary.
Yes.
He actually believed that verse enough to go against the fears of sailing off the end of the world, and he set course. Matter of fact, in his diary, he said, I set course for the furtherance of the gospel, and that was the verse he used to set course, that very verse, Isaiah 40, verse 22.
So the question is, these people believe that the earth is flat.
Yes.
Don't believe Isaiah chapter 20.
You know, I have to admit, God don't make us get saved. He offers it.
Yeah.
God don't make us think like we ought to think, but we ought to. But, you know, God, he gives man every ample opportunity. So that the Bible said, I believe, in Romans chapter 1 or Romans chapter 3, the Bible said they were without excuse. In other words, they're not going to say, God, you didn't. God's going to say, yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be one thing to stand before God. It's going to be another thing to stand before God without an excuse. But by his knowledge, the deeps are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Verse 21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. keep sound wisdom and discretion. Again, he mentions discretion.
Yeah.
Discretion is what causes you to think twice
right.
about doing something.
Right.
Now, when I was in school, and probably when you was in school, they had the Ten Commandments on the wall. Somebody says, won't do no good. Well, let's just put it like this right here. Do you think God would honor having those Ten Commandments in our schools?
Yes, he would.
I think that'd make a difference. Yeah. Don't you?
Yes, he would.
You see, the same God that said, I'll curse those that curse you, I'll bless those that bless you, that he can honor the fact that we put them on the wall, even if the children don't read them, don't heed them, even if they ignore them, God can honor the fact that we're honoring him by putting them in the school.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
See, when you take that God factor out, then you're saying, it ain't going to do no good.
Right.
Just remember, he's still on
the
throne.
That's right.
He takes notice of what we do, why we do what we do, and he takes notice when we do it.
Right.
So if we did put those back in the schools, I got a feeling it'd be a ripple effect.
Yeah, right? It would be.
Well, anyway, getting back to that very point. When I was in school, E.B. Terry Elementary School, Elvin Smith was our principal. Every school day morning, he would read the Bible over the intercom
to
our classroom.
Oh, yeah.
He would pray over us over the intercom every school day morning. And after he got done with that, then we would stand. We'd say the pledge, and matter of fact, it was word for word like it ought to be, and then we would say the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Now, when I said about discretion, those Ten Commandments caused me to think twice about doing things. See what I mean about that? Train up that child in the way he should go.
I think the Ten Commandments, the kids will, some children will comprehend. Of what the Ten Commandments, they will.
I like that. See, this is what Sunday school is all about. Thank you, Carolyn. You see, when I'm preaching, I don't know how you can get a word in edgewise, but that discussion that she just mentioned right there, I want more. That's what Sunday school is all about.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to teach this thing precept upon precept, line upon line, but I want you to raise a hand up. Brother Eddie, I got a question. Don't bother me a bit.
Yeah.
I'm not that smart, but I'll tell you what, I've got the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's got all the answers in.
Yes.
Now all we got to do is find them.
That's it.
And not only that, but give the most earnest heed to them. But I appreciate Sister Carolyn saying what she just did. That's what Sunday school is all about.
Yeah.
Our whole effort is to learn, to grow in understanding and knowledge of the Bible. I want y'all to speak up. I want you to get involved. I want you to step up to the plate. Anytime you got a question, it don't even have to pertain to this lesson. If you got a question, hey, Brother Eddie, what's this mean? I'll give you a Bible answer for it.
Right.
But Sister Carolyn's right. It'll make a difference. Some of them will see it. Some of them will pay heed to it. Some of them will discount it. Some will scoff. Some will mock.
Yeah.
Some will make a joke. But some of them, like she said, they'll look at that and they'll receive instruction.
Yeah.
I think it's Psalm 73. Let me see if I can find this. Hey, I'm teaching off the cuff, which means I'm just winging this, but I think Psalm 73, it might not be it, but I think it is. I know it's where it talks about going in the house of God, but one place it talks about, and I received instruction, and I don't know if that's where this is or not. Until I went in the sanctuary of God, verse 17 of Psalm 73,
yeah.
Then understood I therein, surely that's not really the one I'm looking for. But one place it talks about, and I received instruction. And receiving instruction, I was hoping it was contained in this scripture right here. It's not. But when you receive instruction, it puts you closer to where you need to be. When I say that, you look at, I think 1 Timothy 3:16 talks about being instruction in righteousness. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Here's what I turn to this for. For instruction in righteousness. We have the Bible, which is the instructions for righteousness. We know, thanks to the Bible, what God expects. We know, thanks to the Bible, what the consequences are of not honoring what God says. And we also know, according to the Bible, the rewards that God offers for honoring what God says. But anytime you got a question, please don't hesitate to ask it. That's why I'd rather have more of that than even this right here. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. In other words, God wants us to keep our mind and our eyes upon not only His Word and the wisdom that we can gain by spending time in His Word, but He says also keep sound wisdom and discretion. When I say sound wisdom, what's the first thing you think of when I say something like this? Fake news. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when I say that? Okay, I heard a preacher say this one time, and it's pretty good. He said, opinions are kind of like armpits. Everybody's got a couple, and most of them stink. Now, when I say that, I mean there's always two sides to everything. You see what I mean? So you got the truth part of it, and then you got the gainsaying part of it. That, you know, let's put it this way. When a serpent came to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, he overthrew the world just by saying, yea, have God said. He questioned the Word of God. Yea, have God said. That's all it took. It caused Eve to question that God said, you shall surely die if you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because it wasn't the fruit that killed them. It was that their eyes were open and they weren't innocent no more. And they knew this naked now. And now by one man's sin entered in the world, according to Romans chapter 5. You see, God didn't want them to be guilty. God wanted them to be innocent. Man actually had heaven on earth. We've been trying to get that ever since. It can never happen because sin entered into the world, and there can never be heaven on earth with a matter like sin. The Bible talks about loving the pleasures of sin for a season. Talks about sin when it's finished brings forth death. We got funeral homes. We got graveyards. All of them have markers to show the product of sin. Because sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. God said, Adam, you don't never have to worry about death unless you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What do we do? My mama told me one time, Brother Dallas, she said, don't touch it. That's hot. What did I do?
Touched it.
And I swallowed out. Mama kissed my finger and said, I told you it's hot. Well, that's us in a nutshell.
Yes, it is.
We do just the contrary of what we're told. God offers us everything we need.
Yeah.
Well, this is quite a Sunday school lesson here. Oh, my. But God talked about there'll be life. So, verse 22, so shall there be life unto thy soul. We was meeting for prayer last night, and they mentioned two men had terrible ordeals. Cancer, both of them, cancer in their throat. One of them I know personally, and the other is a preacher that I don't know. Well, they're both still in church. One of them is Mike McGuire, and the other one was, I don't know him real good. I couldn't spell his name neither, but I hate to throw somebody's name out there. But both of them have cancer in the throat. And we got a lot of other people that are sick too. Me and Brother Ed went up to Hart County Hospital, really down to the nursing home, to see a man named Gary Patterson. Is it not? Gary, Brenda's son. Fraser. Gary Fraser, Brenda Scott's son. Yeah. We went to see him. And he's in really bad health also. I still pray for Gary. And I pray for Brenda. But God talks about, you know, having wisdom will help you to have, a healthy life.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think about it, but it does. It gives soundness to your flesh. It causes you to have health. He says here, there'll be life. Jesus said, the words I speak, their spirit and their life. You'd never think about the Bible being something healthy, and yet if you'll just look right over here at verse number 20 of Proverbs chapter 4, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. And here's why: for they are life unto all those that find them, look, and health to their flesh. God says you can live a long life by giving the most earnest heed to His Word. A lot of people today, I think, the best prescription that could be given to them would be something like read the Gospel of St. John.
Right.
They may not do it. But God said, wisdom says, so shall there be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. You know, Jeffrey Epstein, I think that's his name, they said he apparently committed suicide. I don't know if he did or not. I just know one thing, but a lot of people sweating bullets right now. And they say ain't over with. And we're not talking about grace to his neck. We're talking about they found him with a broke neck. Verse 23. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. The psalmist talked about God made his feet like hinds' feet. And not only that, the psalmist talked about David abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalms 91. Man, I've many times I claim this very, very verse here. I tell God, I say, Lord, the storm's coming. And Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You read all of Psalms chapter 91, and it says you'll see it, but it won't come to you. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I'm glad that God provides us shelter from the storm and a safe place from things that we're afraid of. He said, then you'll walk in the way safely. You know, this is a dangerous day. Some guy goes in Walmart, shoots, what is it, 20-some people dead.
Yep.
And the guy goes into a bar and the police kill him. But if he'd made it into the bar with the ammunition he had and with the weapon he had, he'd killed hundreds of people. Yep. He had a bulletproof vest on. Just this week, at a wedding, a suicide bomber blew up his vest, killed 63, wounded something like 200 and some others. I'm just telling you, God said you'll walk safely. He said, I'll be the one that puts a hedge. You remember Satan complaining about God, about Job? He said, you put a hedge about him, let me at him.
Yeah.
You know, the devil, Jesus said, come before the kill, steal, and destroy him. I'm glad God can put a hedge up between me and the devil. I'm glad, praise God, if the devil does come against me, it's because God gave me permission to, and I'd be up to the task if he did.
Right.
You'd never know what kind of man Job was if God hadn't allowed him to be tried like he was. But you find out, buddy, he made it through the trial. There were some tough places in there. But at the end, God blessed him. He had more in the end than he had in the beginning. Then shall thou walk in thy way safely. Boy, I'm all about safety. I'll tell you right now. I come over here, I got my seatbelt on, my truck got airbags, I got a frame under my truck, bumpers, everything on that truck works. The reason I ain't driving that little Ford Explorer, the fuel pump went out on it yesterday. And let me tell you something, hot as it is, I miss it already. But things like that happen. But God says He can make a difference. And our walk down here, and He said our walk will be with safety. And He said your foot shall not stumble. I seen on the news this morning, some singer slipped and fell, broke a rib. He had to cancel all his appointments. And you know, I'm not making issue of that. I'm just saying, your foot shall not stumble. You'll walk in the way safely. And verse 24, when thou liest down, you know, you got to sleep sometime. That's what my mama told my dad. She said, you got to sleep sometime, big boy. Dad was, he was pretty intimidating. He roughed mama up a little bit. And I remember, I was there. I was little, but I remember what she said. She said, you got to sleep sometime, big boy. Scared him to death. Daddy's afraid. He's afraid of mama. Verse 24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Daddy was afraid to close his eyes. She gave him reason to. Yeah, she might not have been very big, Brother Jerry, but I'll tell you what, buddy, she got a big man's attention. She said, you got to sleep sometime, big boy. Yeah. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. I don't know about y'all, but I don't worry about nothing when I sleep.
No.
I don't worry about the house burning down. I don't worry about nobody breaking in. I don't worry about nobody stealing anything. I say, Lord, I'm going to sleep. You keep an eye on everything. I'll see you in the morning.
That's right.
Yeah. What did God tell Abraham? Genesis chapter 15. Now, when God says, "Fear not, Abraham," I'm just going to guess Abraham was a little bit afraid of something.
Yeah.
But you know what he said to him, Dallas? He said, "Fear not, Abraham." He said, "I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward." In other words, he said, "I've got everything you need right here, Abraham. Don't worry." I'm glad he says that to us. See, all the promises of God are in Christ, yea and amen.
Yeah.
Well, all those promises that God promised Abraham, they got imputed to us through Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said Abraham rejoiced to see his day, and he said, and he saw it. And I just want you to know, I'm a Jew now. I was always jealous of the Jews, Bonnie. I always wished I'd been born a Jew. Guess what? I was born again now. I'm a spiritual Jew. I'm a spiritual seed of Abraham according to Galatians. And praise God, I got in on those promises. Those promises. Y'all look at me, and I just tell you right now, I put a curse on a few people. I didn't say nothing, didn't do nothing. It's just they done me wrong, and God avenged me.
Yeah.
See, God says, "Avenge not yourself; vengeance is mine."
Right.
I will repay. They learned the hard way. They learned. They're better off. Let it go. Because in their efforts to try to do me harm, they hurt themselves. If that makes any sense. I don't know. But I've caused a lot of people to have regret. Because, praise God, I'm glad that He does avenge us. Amen. Anyway, I've actually seen it. I've actually almost said, you know, I would like to advise you not to do that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't take that advice, but I'd like to say, I advise you I wouldn't do that. It actually been better off. They just let go, let go.
Right.
Anyway, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. My wife, she said, "I wish I could sleep like you." I said, "Well, honey, all you got to do is get right with God. It's a package deal." She said, "I'll knock your eye out." I'll let that go right there. I said, "Okay, honey. Okay, so let's start to tell you the reason I sleep like I do. I made peace with God. Bible said He giveth His beloved sleep." Right here, He says, "Your sleep will be sweet." I can sleep. One thing I've championed, and God's reason I have, I can sleep with the best. If I ever have a sleep contest, I'll win it.
I
tell you right now, I can sleep. I can sleep standing up. I can sleep sitting down. I can sleep talking. Verse 25, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." You know, that verse kind of catch you off guard there, but what have we got to fear? I mean, Jesus said, "Fear not Him if they would kill the body and after that could do no more."
Yeah.
I can't stop nobody from shooting me. I can't stop nobody from stabbing me. Some guy broke in a military base, crashed his car into it, and stabbed someone, they shot him dead, and he thinks he's, you know, kind of like Paul. Paul thought he was doing God's service, running into God and had to ask Him what his name was. He went from Saul to Paul. Immediately he preached Christ, owed everything he'd learned up to that point of the way it's done, and picked up something better and went preaching Jesus everywhere he went, got in all kind of trouble. He'll get you in trouble too. You preach Christ, see what happens.
Yeah.
go door knocking and try to tell people about Christ, see what happens. You'll find out it ain't a pleasant subject. Yeah. A lot of people, they've got some things to say, and you'll have to get the brunt of it. But anyway, that guy broke in and now he's dead, and he knows better now. But sudden fear. I can't stop no one from doing what to do, but I don't have to be afraid of it.
Right.
What the psalmist say in Psalms 23? I think it's verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In the valley of the shadow of death, we'll have company. We'll have comfort. I had a little bit of that one time. I was telling y'all, if my wife hadn't intervened, I'm pretty sure I'd have been a dead man. Man, I was already trying to get a foot in heaven, if you know what I mean. She's in that place. "You get a green dog having a birthday this Saturday, and you need to be there." And they just interrupted. It scared death me both to death. I believe he had a pretty good hold on me, but she intervened there. I'll hold that against her. I'm going to talk to God about that when I get to heaven. Anyway, be not afraid of sudden fear. I tell people out there at work, and they put great effort to try to scare me. I just don't scare them. I don't have nothing to be afraid of. And they'll try to startle me. They'll jump out and scream and everything. I just walk right on crazy. But I don't have Jesus, Glenn. I don't have really any reason to be afraid, so I don't get afraid of nothing. There have been a few times my wife called me to be concerned, but not afraid. But anyway, she gets that look on her face like this ain't good. I say, oh, this probably ain't good. Anyway, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Now this is a verse that I'll probably stop on this verse right here. The Bible talks about a lot of things. It talks about the desolation of the wicked. Peter, 2 Peter there, chapter 3, I believe 2 Peter chapter 3, talks about how things are going to end. Now they're talking about global warming, new Green Deal and all that. Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, talks about the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That's true global warming. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I just want you to know the desolation of the wicked, it's coming. God has done promised He's going to destroy this earth. A lot of people have a lot of theories about that. I don't think it's going to be done by man. The nuclear bomb don't threaten me a bit. I don't lose a bit. I take a baby aspirin and sleep like a baby. The same God that rained down fire and brimstone in Genesis chapter 19 upon Sodom and Gomorrah, He just showed how He could do it.
Yeah.
They say to this day the rocks are melted together out there. I know that man's little firecrackers, they do bring somewhat fear. I remember we had bomb drills when I was in school. Had to get under the desk. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that's not what we need to fear. Yeah. And God here, He said, don't be afraid. When I bring destruction upon the wicked, it's going to come. But I'm glad the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, God's got something better in mind for us.
Right.
Going to a better country, Brother Jerry. I'm going to have a better body.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a better time. I'm going to have better opportunities. Amen. Down here, I've got to wear a watch. Well, one of my favorite verses in Revelation, time will be no more. Don't need one. Throw it away. Don't need no more calendars. No more time clocks. No more schedules. Amen. I'm looking forward to sharing time will be no more. It's no longer. We're not no longer on the clock.
No.
We'll have eternity.
Right.
Can you imagine? Just take for instance right now, just a second. Can you imagine that you had eternity right now? Didn't worry about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to be in no hurry. Didn't have to be nowhere. Like Donnie called me and said, I'll take you to a Chinese restaurant today to eat dinner. I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know what I mean? But if I had eternity, I'd say, see, there's some guy. You know what I mean? But I mean, these busy schedules. You know, right now school started back and everybody's having to hustle, get the kids on the school bus, get them to school, pick them up and all that. Time will be no more. We'll stop. We'll stop right there. We'll pick up right there. Let's see. Where was that?
No. Verse 25 will be your last verse.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's it. Verse 25. All right. We'll pick up next verse 26.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Ed.